Welcome to Parshas Hashavua with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parshas, Parshas Chaya Sarah. It's the Parsha when Sarah passes away, the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, and when Avraham Avinu marries Hagar and has more children, and then sends them away to the Far East. Today I wanted to share with you three brief ideas. On the Parsha, each one in itself is just very beautiful concepts. So the first is an idea that comes from the talks of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, where in the beginning of the Parsha, we know that Avraham Avinu goes to the people of Ches and he asks for the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, where Sarah was buried. And Rashi makes the comment and he says, when Avraham Avinu said, Ger v'toishav, I am a ger, meaning I'm a stranger, but I'm also a settler. So Rashi explains that really what Avraham Avinu could have done, et leno min hadin, he says, if you want, I'll give it to me or sell it to me. If not, I will just take it because it legally belongs to me. I am the inheritor of Eretz Yisrael and this is really mine. So the question is that really, either way, Avraham Avinu could have got Ma'aras HaMachpelah for nothing, either because it legally belongs to him or they were ready to give it to him for free, but yet he insisted on paying for it. Why? So he explains according to the Zohar. The Zohar says that there's a pasuk in the Torah which says that the Yidden complained about the food asher noichal b'mitzrayim chinom, that we ate in Mitzrayim for free. Says the Zohar, klipa, impurity, the other side of kedusha, not kedusha, things which are unholy, come for free. Kedusha, holiness, can only be acquired, can only be connected to with investment, with paying for it, with putting in effort, yegiyah, hishtadlus. Only then, says Zohar, can one bring rucha de kucha, a spirit of holiness, and needs some sort of work, some sort of payment. And this is the lesson, the fundamental lesson. It's said about the Arizal, that he would always pay a lot of money for his esrog. He didn't save on the esrog. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a minag that when someone would bring him a new sefer by the famous dollar lines, he would always give an extra dollar because he says for a sefer you have to pay. He didn't want to take it for free. These are various applications of this concept, but the most important thing is the lesson, the horah. In the spiritual service, there are times that we do things which are holy, which are mitzvahs, but we don't put in the effort. In other words, we do it relative to how we are talented. So a person, for example, might have good skills. He might be blessed with good intellectual abilities. And therefore, he's able to learn Torah. He's able to do mitzvahs with minimal effort. The problem with that is that's not the way to connect to Torah. Mitzvahs, that's not the connect way to Kedusha. By definition, the connection to Kedusha means yegiyah, the ability to work hard. Avraham Avinu could have got Eretz Yisrael for nothing, but no, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to pay for it. Same thing with us. Whatever level we are, whatever we're able to do without effort, we have to do more, putting in the correct effort, because ultimately that is the only way that we really connect to the concept of Kedusha. Okay, that's idea number one. Idea number two. We learn that Sarah passed away in, the Tosek says, Bekiryas Arba, in a place called Kiryas Arba, he Chevron, which was Chevron. Simple, it's called Hebron. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? Rashi says, because four giants were buried there, or on the future, it was written about the future prophetically, because four couples would be buried there, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah, and so on and so forth. But the Kli Yoker, this is from the Kli Yoker, points out that actually the Medrash says that this place had four names. The city had four names, Eshkol, Mamre, Kiryas Arba, and Hebron. And yet over here, the Pasuk only says two of the names, Kiryas Arba and Hebron. Says Lucky Yarker, a very novel idea, and he says the following. Hebron was designated for a cemetery. That's why Avraham and Sarah are buried there. People were buried there. And there are four reasons why people pass away. Sometimes a person passes away because of transgression. So Hashem could shorten someone's life or take him away because of the averus, because of the things that he's done wrong. Sometimes we find in Chazal that a person can pass away because of other people's sins. We find this that sometimes, Chas v'Shalom, the Gemara says, shouldn't happen to anyone, and not necessarily if it happens is because of this, but there is a concept where sometimes children can pass away for the sins of their father or the parents. Thirdly, there's the concept of people passing away naturally, meaning every natural thing comes to an end. And what happens is that the four yesoidis, the four elements with which every person is created, fire, water, wind, and dust, those are the four yesoidis, the four foundational elements of every creation. And the way Hashem creates the world is that nothing down here at least lasts forever. And therefore, after a while, it starts to disintegrate. And the yesoidis, the components of the person, starts to separate, and therefore just a natural death, old age, or whatever the case is. And then there's this thing called Misas Neshika, a kiss of death. That means great tzaddikim. When they pass away, it's like they pass away seamlessly, painlessly, like Moshe Rabbeinu did. And at that point, it's called a Misas Neshika because at that point they achieve the ultimate connection with Hashem. It's like the bond with Hashem in a very, very real way. And it comes a time where they're able to bond with Hashem in such a way that the neshama leaves their body. And he says, because heaven was a place of burying people, this is why it had these four names. Eshkol, Mamre, Kiryas Arba, and Hevron. It says Mamre, they would correspond to a person that passed away because of transgression, because the word Mamre comes from the word Mamrim, to rebel against Hashem. Eshkol would refer to a person who passed away because of the sins of someone else, and therefore that person who lost the loved one because of their own transgression, that person is now grieving. We find many, many words in Tanakh that Eshkal, the word Eshkal or Eshkol is an expression of grieving. Like Rivka once said that if, you know, that Esav was going to pass away and so on, Rivka said, Loma Eshkal gam shneichem yom echad, why should I lose you all in one day? A person, the Gemara says, a person who chas v'shalom buries their children is called a shokul, the same word as eshkol. That refers to the second cause of death. The third is called Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba means the city of the four, Kabbalistically referring to the four elements with which a person is created, the fire, the water, the wind, and the dust. And therefore, when a person passes away, it could be just from natural causes, and that's the beginning of the disintegration of those four elements, and that's why the place of Hebron is called Kiryas Arba. And the fourth is Hebron. Hebron comes from the word Chibur, which means to join, to bond. And that's referring to the death which happens with Mrs. Neshikin when a person passes away and achieves an ultimate bond with Hashem, the idea of Chibur, which is the same word as Hebron. Therefore, says Liki Yaka, that's why when it came to Sara Imenu certainly did not die because of rebellion, she did not die because of anyone else's sins. And therefore, the word Eshkol and the word Mamre are not mentioned here. What is mentioned, however, is only Kiryas Arba hi Hebron. She passed away in Kiryas Arba. In other words, she passed away, she was an older woman. She passed away what seems to be a sort of a natural way of death, or she was frightened because of the Akedah, or whatever the Midrashim are. But hi Hebron, says the Pasuk, actually it was Hebron. Actually what happened was, that she achieved this ultimate bond with Hashem, which is the idea of Hebron. That's why when it says Vayu, Thomas Sarah, that Sarah died, it says, doesn't say Eshkol and Mamre, even though there was also two names at the same place, but it says Kiryas Arba hi Hebron. That's thought number two. Finally, thought number three is the following. The Kedushas Levi, the Baditcher Barov, points out the following, and he says, why does it say Vayu Chaye Sarah? And the life of Sarah was. And he says that we know that all the life of Sarah, the entire life of Sarah, she was always connected to Hashem. This was her life. Her life was from Hashem, from Kedusha. She was always connected to Kedusha. Incidentally, parenthetically, this is connected to a Rashi in the Chumash. Rashi says, when the Pasuk repeats at the end, Shnei Chaye Sarah, Rashi says, because in the beginning he says, what is 100 years, 20 years, 7 years means when 100 she was like 20, 20 she was like 7, and so on. And then it says, Shnei Chaye Sarah, this is the life of Sarah. What's the repetition? It says, Rashi, Kulon Shovin L'Toiva. They were all equally good. And of course, the famous question is, what does it mean to be equally good? Sarah had some really rough times. She was childless for so many years. The Akedah, she was kidnapped. So many things happened. But of course, as the Zohar says, the Zohar talks about the idea of Simcha, and it talks about Sarah being the ultimate symbol of real and pure joy. And the reason for that is because joy comes from meaning, joy comes from purpose. And Sarah was a person who was able to live her entire life with one purpose. Whether things were going well, whether things weren't going so well, she was always content, she was always happy, because she was always connected to Hashem. And true simcha means that whether things are going really well, or whether chas v'shalom things aren't, we always find a meaning and purpose in the experience which we experience. We're always able to discover what the purpose of our existence is in any given time and in any given experience, which then resulted in what Rashi says, kulon shoving the toiva, they were all equally good. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is, even though outwardly, superficially, experientially, they were not equal at all, but nevertheless, kulon shoving the toiva, they were all equally good, because Sarah Imenu served Hashem throughout and was connected to Hashem in whatever experience she experienced. And that's what he's saying over here, that her entire life she was connected to Hashem. And because she was connected to Hashem, when a person is connected to Hashem, the life energy that they get, the highest, the livelihood, the life force that they get, is what we call in Kabbalah, Misitra de Kedusha, from the side of Kedusha, and it's completely pure, and it's completely holy. Not chas v'shalom, sometimes when a person is not doing the right thing, they're still kept alive, but sometimes part of their life force comes from the side of klipa, the side of impurity. Well, the Sarah wasn't like that. Says the Badishva, that's why in the beginning of the pasuk it says, Vayiyu chayu Sarah. The life of Sarah was Vayiyu. If you look at the word Vayiyu, it's the letters of Yud K, Vav K. We have Yud there, we have Vav there, we have Hey there. We have Yud and Vav twice, actually. And that's why it's the letters of Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, to show you Vayihu Chaye Sarah. What was the life of Sarah? The life of Sarah was purely from beginning to end Vayihu, from the Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, which is of course the name of complete Kedusha, and came only from Kedusha. Those are three brief thoughts on the Parsha. Everyone should have a good week and a good Shabbos.